This is Karen Lyle and Christopher Kane of Salesport Talk, and we are continuing a conversation with Trevor Danielson. Trevor is one of the younger members of the New York Yacht Club American Magic Team. He is hoping to do his part on the production side to help the American Magic Team bring home the America's Cup trophy to the New York Yacht Club in March 2021. Let's listen into the conversation.
So you're a sailor. Tell us about your sailing.
I haven't, just since being with the team, I haven't had too much opportunity to do sailing, to go sailing, just because of our work schedule. But before that, I was involved in a lot of super yacht sailing, kind of just local sport boat sailing around Newport, and basically whoever would give me a ride, I would go sailing with. Basically, I've sailed on many, many different boats of many different classes and builds, and basically whoever will give me a shot, I'll go sailing with.
How much of a feedback loop is there where, you know, the sailors will come off and go, hey, you know, I don't know what you guys changed yesterday, but this feels off. How much feedback do you get from the guys when they come off the water?
I personally am not too heavily involved with it, but I know there's meetings every day after sailing with the designers, with the sailmakers, and with the trimmers and all that. So there is a pretty constant feedback loop, and it happens during the day on the water as well.
What type of tools do you use in your work? Do you have hands-on with anything that you're doing? Is it mostly computer or device? What assists you in your job?
It's a combination of everything. I mean, you use everything from your standard screwdrivers all the way up to forklifts, scissor lifts, the hammer drills, I don't know, whatever, basically you name it, I'm sure it gets used.
Up to the lifting crane.
Yep, exactly. Even throw the chainsaw in there.
Hopefully that doesn't get used.
Yeah. Right. So do you get to hear stories or sit and hang out, or is it work all the time?
Oh, no, we find time to shoot the breeze a little bit, for sure. It's there's always a little bit of time for that.
And what about your favorite drink? The thing that you really enjoy when you've got some time to shoot the breeze.
Oh, that's an ice cold beer. It's gotta be, yeah. So definitely nice to sit down and have a cold beer after work, for sure. I think we'll have a couple today. It's a Friday down here, so I'm sure that's in the cards.
Well, thank you so much for coming and speaking with us on the show. And this is Karen Lyle with Salesport Talk. Trevor, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Salesport Talk, this is Terry Hutchinson from the New York Yacht Club American Magic. Appreciate all the support that you're giving to our team in our pursuit of the 36th America's Cup.
Thank you for that, Christopher Cross, and that means it's time for SalesportTalk.com, and we do that in the first hour on Tuesdays with our co-host, Karen Lyle. And Karen, we got a little different spin today, don't we?
We do. You remember that we had Alana Connor from New Zealand on the show about 8 weeks ago. You remember that?
Yes, of course.
Of course, and Patty Mangan was the person who got us in contact with Alana, and she has been following her figure eight voyage. She's also the incoming Commodore for the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association, and I thought that she should guest co-host with you today.
All right, and Patty, you're in our studio, right? Is it a bouillabaisse of COVID germs in there? Are you all right?
No, it's sad. There's empty parking everywhere. The halls are empty. It's a little ghostly. Good morning.
All right. Our guest is Alana Carter calling in from New Zealand. And Alana is here to talk about her solo sailing a figure eight for a good cause. Alana, welcome back to the show. You're raising money. What's going on?
Thank you so much for having me and good morning. I'm raising money right now for a New Zealand-based national advocacy charity for youth in foster care called Voice Whakarongo Mai. And we're partnered also with the Spirit of Adventure Trust. They run this tall ship in New Zealand that's totally iconic called the Spirit of New Zealand. They take young people out on youth development voyages. And so I'm raising money for Voice Whakarongo Mai to develop a new scholarship so that young people in care can go on the Spirit of New Zealand tall ship and have a fully paid 10-day voyage that hopefully will really change the course of their lives.
You're now in Picton after having come through the Cook Strait. You want to tell us about the perils of the Cook Strait?
Thankfully, it was over quickly. That's the thing I'm most pleased about with the Cook Strait. So it's pretty notorious stretch of water for being quite choppy, and if you get wind on tide conditions, really dangerous. The winds are just so amplified there because of the hilliness of Wellington, which is similar kind of to San Francisco in terms of how hilly it is. And so I came around the corner, Cape Palliser, from the North Island and through the Cook Strait, sort of up the coastline to Wellington. And there was almost no wind. And I was actually videoing my wind instrument at the time. And it went from 5 knots to 20 knots in like 3 minutes.
Wow.
So we just got slammed and then crossed the Cook Strait. But I was really glad. You know, there's always that moment when you're out there sailing where you're thinking, oh, I should really put up more canvas. You know, I'm barely moving at all. And I had my main on the second reef and a really big reef tucked into my furling jib as well, and thought, oh, I'm just going so slow. I wish I could put out more canvas. And then as soon as we got hit by that wind, I was really, really glad that we'd reefed early because we were in sustained winds over 25 knots for the whole passage across in a little boat. That's quite a lot. So, yeah, I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, you keep saying we, and you think, I thought she was solo. You say we because your dog Zia is with you, right?
I say we because my dog Zia is with me. But also, I think when you travel more than 10,000 nautical miles around the Pacific alone with your boat and your dog, you kind of end up being this sort of royal we. So I always think of Windfulla, my boat, also as a part of that we. But thankfully, yes, I do have my dog with me. And she's a total trooper. She's just been sleeping through most of the coastal sailing. When dolphins come, actually, sometimes I don't even notice them, but she's barked at me to let me know that there are dolphins nearby. So most of the time she's really happy and pretty chill, loves sea creatures, loved a fish that we landed. We caught a kahawai between Gisborne and Napier just a few weeks ago as we were coming down the east coast of the North Island, and that's always a big day for Zia. But she was not particularly pleased by the Cook Strait, but really happy when we got into the Marlborough Sounds and everything mellowed out and it was sunny and she could be back up on deck again. So
now I think it's important for the listeners to understand a figure eight. You are circumnavigating the North and South Island, but you're crossing in between, and the longest and hardest part is ahead of you. And why did you choose to go down the east side and cross over to the west versus the other way?
Yeah. You're so insightful and spot on there. It is quite challenging to cross twice in the middle of our figure eight through the Cook Strait, but actually, as notorious as that body of water is, the bit that's even more challenging is coming down the west coast of the South Island, just because of the way that systems rip across the Tasman from Australia to New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So I'll be going down the west coast of the South Island, and I've been looking at that over the last week, just preparing and watching for what's happening with the systems there. And it will take me about 3 days to go from Nelson down to Milford Sound, which is quite a ways down on the west coast of the South Island. And unfortunately, it just doesn't look like there will ever be a three-day stretch. So I'm probably about halfway through that going to get slammed with headwinds and just try to hold my position and not lose ground until it passes and I can keep going. So there's that just natural cycle of storms passing across. But then also when you reach Fiordland, Milford Sound is the first of the many fjords in Fiordland that I can go into. Once you're inside of those fjords, there are katabatic winds that kind of whistle down from the high mountains and cold glaciers up there at the top. So you can come in and you'll immediately actually be in headwinds inside of the sounds, and the wind conditions can be dramatically higher even than off the coast, which is already relatively treacherous. So it's going to be pretty intense. I'm a bit nervous about it. Nobody likes to pick up a mooring in more than 20 knots of wind, and I'm pretty nervous I'll enter one of the fjords with only, you know, moorings to choose from and in such deep water, and I'll be trying to pick up a mooring and, you know, 45 knots of wind. Not looking forward to that, but fingers crossed I have good conditions and I don't do too much of that. And then when I get to the south end of the South Island, obviously I'm sort of poking my nose into the Southern Ocean there. So it's best to go west to east. And I planned the entire figure eight around that so that I would be with the prevailing wind and currents in those most difficult conditions down there.
Rick Tittle and Patty Mangan with Alana Connor, who's done three solo sailing rides. This might be a dumb question, but every picture I see of you, you have this fantastic flowing locks, great hair, but it always seems that the wind's blowing it everywhere. And I would think that your hair would bug you on the boat, that it would always be in your face or getting tied up in the sails or something. But I guess it doesn't bother you. You like having the fantastic hair, huh?
I mean, I've given up so many luxuries on the boat. So I don't have running hot water. I don't have a fridge or a freezer. Obviously, can't use a blow dryer or anything like that. So my life is pretty simple these days. And I feel like that's kind of my one sort of shred of civilization that I'm hanging on to is my long hair. And frankly, if Pip can do it, so can I. I'm following Pip quite closely with Medallia, and she still has enough hair she has to tie it up. So so I feel like I get to keep mine for now.
Yeah, you got to look good coming into port. So I've been in the Milford Sound myself, and I was thinking about it, Ilana. I've traveled New Zealand a couple of times, and I've seen the... I've gone in the helicopter rides. I've gone on the river rafting, horsebacking, the whole nine yards. And your experience will be so different from a majority of people who travel to New Zealand. I mean, there's no comparison. And you, too, will not see Queenstown, and I don't think, unless you go all the way into Queenstown there, and so much of the countryside. Is this your first time to New Zealand, and will it be from a scenic perspective?
Yeah, it is my first time to New Zealand, and somewhere I've looked forward to going for a long time. So obviously choosing to see it by figure eight under sail and with a bit of a schedule means that I'm missing out on a lot of seeing what New Zealand has to offer inland. And I'm a bit sad to miss all of that. I'm hoping that I'll get a chance to come back around. In fact, every port that I've stopped at so far, I've made some really wonderful connections with the people. And when I'm leaving, everyone says, okay, when your figure eight's over, you're going to have to come back. So I'm starting to realize I might have to do a second figure eight just to come back and see everyone. But, you know, I will say that even though I'm missing out on things like Queenstown and some beautiful places I'd love to spend a little bit longer in, the Marlborough Sounds for one, I'm meeting so many interesting people that I feel like I'm seeing this other side of New Zealand that a tourist doesn't normally get to see. So as I sail my figure eight, I'm actually stopping and speaking with any young people that are interested in and chatting with me, and I'm welcoming them aboard my yacht as well. I've done a number of, I call them open boats to the community. So I'll just set a time and maybe go on the local radio or chat with a local newspaper reporter and let them know, okay, on Sunday for a couple hours, my boat will be open. You can come down and just see the inside of a little blue water cruising boat. And people come down with their little kids and they get to crawl all over, jump into the V-berth and climb out of the forehatch. So it's just been so neat to have all these conversations with people from all different walks of lives, especially the young people that I've met along the way who are in care or have foster care experience, just hearing a bit of their stories and giving them a chance to just see something different and know that it's an option for them as well. So while I'm not getting to see all the really iconic places of New Zealand, I hope that I get a chance to travel back around and see them again. And I'm also glad that I am getting to see this other side through meeting so many different people here.
Last question for you, Ilana. As you're raising the full scholarship money to get on that Spirit of New Zealand, which is about $2,500 through Voice Wakarongo Mai, am I right in assuming that that's the Maori language there for the indigenous people of New Zealand?
Yeah, it is. It is. So Wakarongo Mai means listen to me. And because Voice is an advocacy organization, they're really focused on making sure that the young person's voice is heard. They have actually a legal right in New Zealand since 2017 to be sure their voice is heard and any decisions made about them. And that's so important. So often kids are kept from getting to see their siblings, but they don't know why. And they just want somebody to hear them say, I really want to see my brother or my sister. So a voice was founded to make sure their voices are heard. And it's been really neat to learn little bits and pieces of the Maori language as I travel around and even get to visit some of the Polynesian voyaging wakas and hear about traditional voyaging and navigation while I've been here. So the exposure to the Indigenous language and culture has been a really incredible experience for me, especially as a sailor.
That's Alana Connor, one of the best solo sailors on the face of the earth, and doing great work helping people. Alana, always a pleasure having you on. You're always a joy. Continued sailing safely, and we'll see you back home.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me today.
Sure. Thank you, Patty, Alana. Thanks for stepping in and pinch hitting with your insights today. Appreciate it.
You bet. I'm going to call Nelson Yacht Club and tell her Alana's on the way.
Very good. And Karen Lyle, it's good talking to you as well. We'll see you next week, kiddo.
We'll see you then, Rick.
Thanks.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
All right. There it is. Rick Tittle with you. And we'll take a quick break and come on back on Sports Byline.